Book of John, chapter 4. So we've been discussing doing God's will and being a servant. John chapter 4 and verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for being able to come during the middle of the week and refuel, so to speak, and to go on through this week and, Lord, to serve you the way we ought to and to do your will. And, Lord, we thank you for your word that we can study. And, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds, give us discernment. And, Lord, give us the spiritual food we need to carry on each day of our lives and our walk with you. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so doing things for the Lord and doing the will of the Lord is where our thought pattern really is. But when we think of doing His will, God calls us, we really need to concentrate on the main part of our life, not so much as what God set me aside to do. For instance, I'll use me for instance. He called me into the mission work, into the pastoring, but I don't need to focus as much on that as I do on a relationship with Him. If I'm focusing on my relationship with Him, then what He's called me to do and the will that He wants in our lives, in my life especially, that'll kind of follow through. Kind of like you put the car in drive, it's going to go somewhere. And so it's that relationship. When we build our relationship with the Lord, then we're seriously, we're doing what God wants, because we're getting special things from Him. He's I don't know how to say it. He opens my eyes to different things. The Spirit prompts me in different ways. And as we follow through with that relationship, it really, really opens our eyes to what we need to be doing. Now, as we build this relationship, when I look at it, God called me to be a missionary, to be a pastor. So, when you think, what's my spiritual gift? You start wondering about all of these things. But as I said, I don't need to focus solely on the fact God called me for this, because while I'm in His will and doing His will and I'm centered around, He's centered, God is in my life like I mentioned the other day, a spindle on a wheel. That's what I'm rotating around. And as long as I'm rotating around that, God is going to, I'm going to be fulfilling what He's called me to do. Now, spiritual gifts, as we do, some people's got the gift of gab. It's just they like to talk and people listen. There's some people, Adrian Rogers was a pastor years ago. He died in 2005. But he had the, the golden voice. When he spoke, I got a good friend of mine named Calvin Smith. He lives in Kentucky. And he has that voice that it just sounds perfect. It's that radio style. And when you hear it, it's like, oh, let me hear that, that's a gift of His. God has used Him many ways in that. But don't tie yourself down to say, but I can't do this or I can't do that. Sometimes God gets us, gets us out of the box. Gets us out of our comfort zone. How you like being out of your comfort zone? A lot of people don't. Yeah, I got people going, I don't like being out of my comfort zone, although I've gotten over that a lot because the Lord fixed it to where, that doesn't much bother me as much as it used to. But for a long time when I first started preaching to you guys is no big, it's like, hey, the Lord called me to do that. And whenever I preach to a congregation, I'm always sort of to a point nervous, worried about what I'm going to say if I say it right. But my comfort zone was speaking to you. But when you got to stand before 15, 20 preachers and some theologians in the crowd and some doctor so-and-so, when you got to speak to them, for some reason, that's out of my comfort zone. But God has arranged that on a few occasions that I've had to speak before those kind of, those guys that are educated well over what I am. And the truth of the matter is, God enables you and gives you what you need. And the main thing is stick to Jesus. You can't go wrong. Amen. Amen. When nothing, I had a little old lady tell me one day, she says, when you just can't think of anything else to preach about, she said, preach about Jesus. She said, you'll never go wrong. Amen. And I'm like, that's pretty smart. And she wasn't no theologian. But anyway, so Jesus, if we concentrate on Jesus, we don't have to worry about it. But now, when God calls us, we have to remember something. Paul said in Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Here, let's turn over there real quick. Acts chapter 9 records a conversion of the apostle Paul. And verse 6 is something we really need to concentrate on. Because it's one thing to be saved, but it's quite another to say what he said to Jesus. Now, remember, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, Saul was a godly man. He wasn't against God. He was against Jesus and, this unemployed carpenter and these followers that were calling themselves Christians. He was against that. He wasn't against God. But now when Jesus called him, these words is what he said, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord. That main word right there is very important in each of our lives. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So whenever we get saved, we say, I no perfect wording, but basically you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. You confessed to God that, hey, I am a sinner. I know that I cannot get to heaven on my own. I know that it ain't gonna happen. I'm bankrupt when it comes to that. I can't get... My righteousness is not acceptable to God. I had to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which was His blood that washed me. And I trusted Jesus, repenting, and said, Jesus, save me. Not necessarily those perfect words, so, you get the picture. That's one thing to do that. And hey, you're saved and on your way to heaven. Yeah, no problem. But it's another thing to turn around and do what the Apostle Paul did the day he got saved. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? So, in other words, the question is he Lord of your life? Not just Savior. Is he Lord of your life? It's You become you get saved when you ask Jesus into your heart, okay? There's not a problem there, but is he going to be Lord of your life now? You see, when I got saved, hey, that was good. I was on my way to heaven. The day I got saved, not a doubt in my mind, when I asked Jesus to come into my heart, he saved me. I knew right then, I said, boom, man, I've got it settled. But I didn't say, okay, Lord, what you want me to do? It's like, wait a minute, I know what I do. I go and do this, and I go and do this. But see, when we turn around with the attitude of each day, Lord, what will thou have me do? We're going to work, or yeah, I'm going to visit some people. But we still, are you putting Christ where he's supposed to be? Lord of your life, because it's a day-by-day thing with the Lord. We don't live for tomorrow. Listen, we got to let tomorrow take care of itself. It ain't even here yet. And it's got lots of problems coming. Tomorrow's going to have a bunch of problems. It's today. That's what we need to worry about. We need to worry about today and go through it day by day. And the way we do that is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I want to back up and look a little bit at Jesus is the way, though. Now, I took a load of cattle one time to Wyoming. I went to Rollins, got off of I-80 at Rollins, and hung a right. And by the way, I was heading west on 80. And I hung a right, and I'm going back up in the desert, and the high desert back in there. And I went, and I went, and I went, and I went. Until I didn't think that anybody existed anymore. And I found this guy's ranch. So I pulled in. And there's this huge arena. And I'm like, well, this is where we'll unload the cows at. So I get out. And I meet the guy. And he says, I said, so where we're going, where you want me to back up and we'll let these cows out? They ain't going here. He said, they're going. He said, you see that mesa way back up there? And I said, yeah. And it's about 15 miles back up through the sticks. And he said, that's where we're going. And I'm thinking, I'm driving a Peterbilt, dude. This ain't a four-wheel drive Jeep. And he told me, he said, listen, he said, I've got everything worked out. He said, I have prepared the road for you. He said, I've prepared this whole way. And he says, and not only that, I'm going to be in the truck with you. And I'm going to guide you over some of the rough spots that we're going to come up on that I've done my best. But, you know, we're going to have to maybe hang a little harder to the left or a little harder to the right. And I said, okay. Well, hey, I went with him. He went with me the whole way. And that meant a lot. Because Jesus said, I am the way. So when Jesus gives us something to do, we got to stick with Jesus. Listen, Jesus is not going to just give us something to do and say, okay, Hannah, this is what I want you to do. See you. Good luck. It'll work that way. Jesus gives us something to do, and as long as we keep that relationship close with him, and he's right there in the seat with us, then he'll guide us all the way. Because when I took my truck up on the mountain, we come up on a few curves, and I'm like, this don't look good. And it's all dirt. And I ain't impressed with what I'm seeing at all. But he said, wait a minute, he said, hang to the left right in here. He said, see that little wash-looking area? He said, we don't want tires getting on that. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I got a 52-foot cattle trailer behind me here. Well, yeah, but if you'll hang to the left and keep hanging, and instead we missed it about like that. But we made it in there. Yeah, there was a few places we come to that I'm like, man, this ain't, but we made it. Now, if I'd have went on my own, it may not have turned out so well because I didn't know the spots. And by the way, I didn't get up there. This was in March, somewhere right in there. And I didn't get to his house till late that evening. So before we got to the Lion Shack where we were going to hang out, it had already started getting dark. And we'd get to a certain part of the road and he'd say, well, now, wait a minute. We need to go a little more this way and then we need to duck back in. All because of he knew what lie ahead the whole way. Well, see, that's Jesus. Jesus knows what lies ahead the whole way in each step of our life. And when he calls us to do something, we've got to listen to him. And we got to stick with him. We got to be in that relationship with him so that we can hear what he's telling us. Because if we get too far away from the relationship we've got, you can't hear him too good. And you don't want to, you know, think you hear this and it wasn't quite that. We want to make sure we're hearing what he has to say. So, do we trust Jesus to guide us? Sure. Listen, I trusted the Lord to save me. So why wouldn't I trust him through my everyday life? It's real simple. But believe it or not, a lot of times we trust Jesus to save us, but there's other things along the way that we tend to want to do on our own. But listen, Jesus knows the best way. He's like that guy that rode with me in the truck that fixed the road that I was going to go up. He knew where all the soft spots were. He knew when we got to the top, by the way, he had told me, well, when we get up here, we got to hang a right on the Y. But in Wyoming, they had different Ys than everywhere else. You know, a Y you think is a straight line, then it goes like this. Wyoming, they got Ys that go like this, and it goes this way, and this way. He neglected to tell me the road kept going, but you got to go left or right at the Y. So I was glad he was there because he said, oh, by the way, hang a right here. I'm like, okay. And I had a good time the next day, by the way. Guy come up and got me in his helicopter. That's the way he herded cattle. It was quite interesting. But anyway, so we need to be paying more attention to the Lord. And the way we do that is through his word. He speaks to us through his word. You got financial trouble? Start digging in his word. You got marriage problems? Start digging in his word. You got children problems? Start digging in his word. It'll give you an idea of what's going on in your life. And the closer we build that relationship with him, the better that works out. So I need to, I myself have to focus on this relationship with God. And as I get deeper in a relationship with him, his will gets more and more plain to see, I'll say. It's not so, you know, when I'm looking... When I first surrendered my life to the Lord and he truly became Lord of my life, a lot of it was a fog. I could see a certain amount, but it was like, I don't see all the rest here. Listen, I've been a guy all of my life that my strength and my ability was the way I made it every day. That was the way I fed my wife. That was the way I fed my kids. That was the way we kept going, was because I was able to go out and do what needed to be done. And so you've got you got that part of you that wants to know the entire thing from point A to point B. I want to know all in between. But God doesn't always work that way. Abraham, he told Abraham, he says, hey, pack up and go to where I'm going to tell you to go. That's kind of limited details. Hey, Abraham, pack up all your belongings and you go to a place I'm going to show you. But I want you to head out. Now, that's kind of... Moses, on the other hand, he said, Moses, this is what I want you to do. Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt. No, I don't do that. But that's what Moses said. I want you to go down to Egypt. I want you to talk to Pharaoh. He gives him all of these details. Moses had an idea of what he was doing. He still got to trust God. But he had a whole lot more idea of what he was doing and where he was going. And by the way, you're going to lead my people out, by the way, into the wilderness so they worship me. But Abraham didn't get all of those details. He told Abraham, he said, hey, pack up, head out, and I'm going to take you somewhere. Abraham literally had to go on a day-by-day basis with the Lord. Really and truly, that's the way we got to do it. Abraham was walking by faith, not by sight. Moses did too, but Moses had a whole lot more description of what he was going to do. Because when you read about it, by the way, God already said, by the way, you're going to tell Pharaoh I need to go. And Pharaoh's going to say, no. He said, he ain't going to let him go. But I'll give you a hint. I got some stuff we're going to do. When it's all said and done, he'll let him go. So Moses had an idea, but he still had to follow the Lord by faith, not by sight. Now, God often calls us to follow him without giving all of the details in the beginning. God called me different places during my ministry. I didn't know the whole details, but I knew that's what God wanted. I'm still going on a day-by-day deal with the Lord here. The Lord called me to Henderson, Nevada, to Wagon Wheel. But there's a lot that's got to happen here at Wagon Wheel one of these days. But he didn't give me the end part of it. He said, no, you go to Wagon Wheel, you start working on it. I'll give you directions as we go along. And that's the way it works. We get directions as we go along. Basically, he said, you go feed the people at Wagon Wheel. You're going to be their pastor there. And eventually, this is going to take place. This is going to take place. There's been some things along the way that took place that I was like, whoa, really? Maybe I did something wrong. No, that's part of God's plan. There's some things, people got mad and left. They didn't like me. I wasn't good looking enough or something. But hey, that's just the way it works. So we follow the Lord, and the closer we get with that relationship, the easier it is to accept following him like Abraham did, day by day, instead of knowing the whole nine yards. I still like to know the whole nine yards, but the Lord don't always give me the whole nine yards. But he said, follow him. And, well, he told the apostles, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, if Jesus had have said, Peter, James, John, and all of the others, if he had have said, follow me, and by the way, this is what's going to take place. People ain't going to like you. There's one. And they're going to cuss you. By the way, they're probably going to stone you a few times. Paul, you're going to get beat. What, he got beat 39 times? by the way, Peter, they're going to crucify you upside down after they crucify your wife. James, hey, Herod's going to have your head cut off. See, he didn't tell them all of that stuff ahead. He said, hey, come with me. I'll make you fishers of men. And they followed him in the way, because the way is the truth in life. And that's the kind of, look what a relationship they had with him. And then whenever he left them, so to speak, went back into heaven, they got confused. Peter's like, huh? I'm going fishing. That caused a problem. He got off course. The Lord showed back up and said, Peter, you love me more than all of this? Then you need to feed the sheep. You need to do what I've asked you to do, Peter. And then he even gave Peter a hint. He said, by the way, one day, Peter, they're going to take you where you don't want to go. In so many words, he basically told Peter, they're going to kill you. Back up to Matthew chapter 6. If you find Matthew 5, go one more chapter. Good thing I didn't add. That ain't common core either. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, not my pocketbook. Look, there's jobs I could go do that pays a whole lot more than what I do. We got to seek the kingdom of God first. I got offered a job right before I moved here. Well, actually, I knew I was coming here because the Lord done called me. And I knew it was all going to work out. And it was a test. And then the guy laughed at me and he said, I was just testing you. He said, but you know me, I'd give you the job. But he offered me a job, 65% of my salary was going to be tax-free, over $100,000 a year. And he offered me that after I let the church know that where I was at the time, that, hey, by the way, I'm going out to Henderson, Nevada. The Lord's called me out there. He come and offered me that job, and I said, man, you know better than offer me a job like that. He said, I'm just testing you. I said, what? That's God's job. He said, well, God told me to do it. And I'm like, well, whatever. So, but he told me after I said, you know, I can't do that. I got to do. He said, yeah, but you know, I'd give you the job. I said, yeah, I know. He would have. He's a good friend of mine. But anyway, after doing that, you're like, are you really a good? But anyway, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So when we seek God and we seek his righteousness, that relationship with him, and we seek what he wants, as Paul did. Paul says, Lord, what will thou have me do? Well, for one, we're supposed to do his will. Let me ask you a question. Here's a test question. What's the Lord's will for your life? There you go. The Lord's will for our life. Well, I don't know. I think he wants me to go and be a brain surgeon. Well, that's all fine, well, and good. But really and truly, what's the Lord's will for your life as a child of God? The Lord's will for your life as a child of God is to tell others about him. And if we're doing that, then we're doing the Lord's will. And yeah, he's got some specific things for us. I'll admit that. I said that the other day and I didn't elaborate on it a whole lot, but where are you? There you're hiding right there. Samuel. If he's doing the Lord's will, telling other people about Jesus, the Lord may use him in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Once he finishes college and goes through what all he thinks he needs to be, and the Lord's opened up the doors for all that, the Lord may use him down there to do the Lord's will, to tell others about Christ while he's doing what he pursued to go do. It's real simple. Now, the Lord does lay it on people's heart to do certain things. Michael Hopper, for instance, I'll use him. His dad, Ernie Hopper, has been in Africa for 100 years. Not quite. But probably about 30. That's been his life. That's where the Lord sent him. It was a specific place. But before he sent him there, he was doing the Lord's will, which was telling others about Christ. He just happened to want him to do it in Africa. Michael did not have that idea. He said, no. That ain't what I want to do. Later, though, the Lord laid it on his heart. That's what I want you to do. While you're doing my will, I want you to do it in Kenya. So he ended up back in Kenya. So the Lord does that. The Lord even gives us places to be at church. I've told people, I'll tell you right now, if you don't think this is where the Lord wants you to be, then by all means, you don't need to be here. You need to be where God wants you, because you're going to be miserable. But if you're over there and you think the Lord wants you over here, you don't need to be there. You need to be here. It's real plain and simple. It's not rocket science as some people would like it to be. It just don't work that way. But he says, take no thought, verse 34, for to the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, listen, why you worry? Don't worry about tomorrow. Because the question is, what hope? What does tomorrow hold? 15 Marines and one Navy guy gets on a plane or whatever it was, a C-130, I think, in Mississippi, going to head to Arizona. They got on the plane. They were planning on getting off of the plane in Arizona. They didn't make it. They never got out of the state. Tomorrow you may have all of these plans, but you got to live for today, because that's the way we go. Abraham walked one day at a time, but Abraham, he did mess up. He went down and, oh, there's a famine in the land. We better go. I'm going to say there was a famine coming. Famines just don't happen. It takes a little while. When they had the famine in Egypt, it took a few years. They had X amount of years of growing and saving up and before they went into the famine. Abraham was trying to live way far in advance. We've got to live day by day. That's the way he went back to living for the Lord, was day by day. And God wants us to enter into that each day, seeking His will, seeking Him, and He'll give us directions as we go day by day. And when I go out, I'm bebopping around and I say, okay, Lord, this is what I want you to do. No. I say, Lord, I'm going to head out. If there's somebody you want me to talk to, lay it on my heart who it is. And as I go along, all of a sudden I run across somebody, and for whatever reason, the Lord prompts me to say something to them. And before long, boy, we strike up a conversation. And then it's not hard to bring out the fact of who Jesus is. But that's what we need to be doing. We need to be seeking that relationship with Him. And we'll experience blessings as He guides us through our life. Let's stand.